It's very bekitzer on the parsha. It's there's a famous chazal. Chazal tell us that Yaakov, I always confuse the two of them. Yaakov lost 33 years of his life, and he died at 147 versus dying at 180 like his father. Why? Because when Yaakov is asked by Paro his age, he gives a long drasha about his life wasn't as good as other people's lives. And if you count the psukim, you'll see there's 33 words in the psukim that add up to the 33 years that he lost. So Reb Chaim Sholevitz asks the question, it's not 33 years starting with the response of Yaakov. It's 33 words counting the question of Paro. Why should Yaakov be held accountable for Paro's question, right? If rabbis were held accountable for every question someone asked, we'd be in big trouble, right? Hey, what do you want me? You ask a silly question, so I should be held accountable? So Reb Chaim Sholevitz says a fantastic sight in life. He says, the reason why he was held accountable, it's really before he said this in the Ramban. He says, the reason why he was held accountable is because he motivated the question. When Yaakov walked in looking so tzebrachen and so depressed and so elderly and so aged, it Pasha forced you to ask the question, how old are you? It doesn't seem to add up. So the Bali Musa explained, they say right from the Bishwal Salanta, that a person's face is a Rosh Hashanah. Everyone sees your face. So you got to be able to have an optimistic look. Someone sees you on the street. Sometimes you pass people on the street, they look like they've been through the most horrific situations of their life. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't, but they look that way. And everyone looks, so they give such a negative, a pessimistic, depressed feeling. So he says Yaakov was held accountable because he didn't give off a positive feeling when he came to Paro. Now, why did Paro ask such a ridiculous question? I was telling my kids that you should never ask someone their age, definitely not a woman. Klal Gadol within. Never, because my kids, I like to ask their grandmother how old she is. No, don't ever ask a woman how old she is. It's not a safe idea, right? It's sometimes a weird thing that Paro asked Yosef, how old are you? So the Vart, they say over from the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh said, what motivated Paro to ask the question? So he explains that we know that the hunger was supposed to be 7 years in Mitzrayim. So they were 2 years into the hunger, and Yaakov comes to town, and the hunger stops. So Paro is thrilled, but he's worried. He sees Yaakov walking. Yaakov looks like he's got one foot in the grave already. So he asked him, how much longer do I have with you as my protection that the hunger will end? So Yaakov tells him, don't worry, I look a lot older than I am. I'm really younger. So when the Shagas Aryeh was trying for a rabbinic position in Mainz, one of the great rabbinic positions of the time, he was 70 years old already, which was old. He was 70 years old, and he applied for the position, and they said, listen, Rabbi, you're old. So he said this vart. He said, I may look old, but I'm telling you, I got a bunch of good years left in me. I got another 20 years in me. And Itaka held on the rabbinic position, I think, for 20 years. I think he died at 90 or 80, which is fantastic for those years to live so long. So the Shagas Aryeh said this vart. I may look like it, but I'm telling you, I got a bunch of good years left in me that I can continue doing my job. So that's what Yaakov was telling Paro. I look old, but I got a bunch of years left in me.
He didn't have an easy life
either. He had a very hard life, the Shagas Aryeh, yeah, 100%. Now, just to connect it to Asar B'Tev, it's very B'Kitzer. If we learned anything from the entire saga of Mechiris Yosef, we learned that when things look very bleak, Hashem has a master plan. Right? This whole Mechiris Yosef, the whole Yosef, every step of the story took us to where we're holding right now, where Yosef is in control and supporting the family. So we have to always see and look for the underlying good, the silver lining in every difficult story. And by Asar B'Tev, which is a fast that we commemorate this week, there's a famous Medrash. The Medrash says that Hashem wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash on Asar B'Tevis. He wanted the Chor Beis HaMikdash to be Asar B'Tevis. So why didn't he? Because he felt bad for us. Because it's cold. It's cold in Tevis. He didn't want Klai Yisrael going into Golos in the cold temperature. He'd rather be going to Golos in the warm temperature. But Dav Kodesh Baruch Hu pushed off the Chorban because he cares about us. That's even when things are bad and we deserve to be punished, Hashem still has a touching, loving hand where he doesn't want to cause so much pain. Someone told me a cute vart that connects to the sugya that we're up to. It says in Rashi that they sent Yehuda to build the yeshiva to build the Beis HaTalmud. So he said, what's up with Beis HaTalmud from all the yeshiva? A lot of yeshiva's names. So the Samar Rebbe made a joke. He said, because if they're still holding in the same sugya, 22 years later, it says, yeshiva like a Beis HaTalmud type yeshiva, where they learn so slow. 22 years, you're still learning at Garufa. You got to move on. You got to cover ground. So Baruch Hashem, we're back to where we started so many weeks ago. We're still in the same sugya of Zohar Shal Chachuma. So it's time to move on. Okay, so let's go weiter. So we're holding over here in the Gemara, where the Gemara is trying to figure out, Kimle B'dirab Minei, on a case of Misa B'Deshamayim. Actually, if everyone remembers, we had one of the Mekairis for Kimle B'Dirab Minei, Misa B'Deshamayim, was from the Pasuk, V'Karo Asan. We had it in the Chumash, last week's Parsha. when Yaakov was so hesitant to send Binyamin, because he said, "V'karu asan," maybe something will happen on the road. So that was the Gemara where we learned from way, way back, that that's how, you know, Misa B'dei Shemayim is subjected to Kim Le B'dirahmini. But in any case, the Gemara is trying to figure out, how do you have a case of Misa B'dei Shemayim when a Zor eats Truma? Zor Shalcha Truma carries the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim. You also have to pay back. So how do you have those two things come together? So the Gemara is trying to figure out logistically, how is it possible? So let's pick up in the middle of the Gemara number one. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case, kigoyin shetoch of law, letoich beis habliya. So your friend took a piece of truma, and he stuffed it down your throat, but not into your mouth. He stuck it straight into your throat. Why? Because if you put it into your mouth and you chew it with your teeth, so you'd be koyin al's that, and therefore it's not going to be b'vasachas. So the Gemara has to make it a kimt, a very strange case, where he stuck the truma straight into your throat. At the time of your throat, that's when the chiyuv misa starts, b'shas habliya, and that's when the chiyuv mamana starts. So beautiful, you have kim le'vidramin. So the Gemara says, one second, hechidami, what's the case? If you are able to spit it back up, meaning he stuffed it down your throat, but you can cough it up and bring the food back. So says the Gemara Nahadir, you should have to bring it back. And therefore what? Says Rashi number two, Iboy la ladure, v'chilo yahadre, and when you don't bring it up, mahishayte ihu maziklo. At that moment, where you consciously decide to keep it in the back of your throat, you become a mazik. Mazik, interesting lashon of Rashi, right? Rashi says you're a mazik. What would we have thought Rashi would have written? A ganif. Rashi is very, very important. This will be very relevant to a very important machloikis, ktsois and nesivis, which we'll get into hopefully this week or next week. So let's keep in mind what Rashi said. Rashi says that the second guy, okay, you have to remember there's two people over here. There's the stuffer, and then there's the second guy. Now we have to get into that guy's story. The guy who took the truma and stuffed it down my throat, what's his status? Well, we're not talking about him now because he doesn't get Misa B'dei Shemayim because he never ate the truma. But he's got to be somewhere in this equation, which we'll get to in a second. So Rashi says, well, if you are able to spit it up and you don't spit it up, you become a mazik at that moment. What moment? The moment before it goes down your throat.
So when does the chiyuv misa kick in?
When it goes down your throat.
But while it's in your throat, you're a mazik.
Right, so you'll be a mazik first. Misa happens later. It's not
b'idna.
So
why do you need that in the throat, it's misa?
Once it goes down the throat.
Well, meaning you swallow.
No, but right now it's sitting in the back of your throat. So in the back of your tongue.
You can still get it up.
Right, you can get it up.
If you can still get it up, you're not going to be chayav.
Correct.
Right, okay, so,
but you are a mazik.
Right.
Why can't we say the same case then by chewing?
Because by chewing, you did a maisa that makes it yours. That might be a maisa kinyan by chewing.
So, but why by chewing, it doesn't happen?
No, because
by going down your throat, you're, it's only when it's going down your throat.
Right, so when it goes down,
the same thing.
But when it goes down your throat, then the person's chayv misa. The question is, when does the financial obligations kick in? So Rashi said that if it's in the back of your throat and you can spit it up, Rashi, again, the way we have it in Rashi, we'll see, it's not so pashut. The way we have it in Rashi is he's a mazik.
We need simultaneous.
Exactly. We need bon kecha. Now, here's where Rashi gets very lebedic.
Rabbi,
yes, Michael.
What happens if it's a masik? What happens if it's a masik and a masik neighbor? How does that work? We got
the same person? The same person is not going to be a masik and a ganim. It's going to be one or the other.
Now, what do you mean? The stuff for the
masik? Oh, we'll get to that in a second. What, Michael?
One masik. What?
What did you say?
When he chewed it, it was a masik. Of hezek, but then when it's swallowed, then it's mazik
mid,
because that's like the kinyan on it, no?
But first of all, in the Gemara holding now, there's no chewing. It's straight into his down. It's at the back of his throat. He's not chewing it, right? It's already the Gemara. But we'll see. We'll talk about it in a second. And look at the.
We're making the assumption that the stuffy receiver, he's aware that this is.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. It's more than that. It does. Did he consent to have some guy stuff something down his throat? That's a big machloekis Rishayim I want to get to later today between the Ri and the Ritzbah. Is this consensual or this was forced? And does that make a difference?
But if he's not aware that it's true, then there's nothing to speak about.
Right, obviously. That might be totally, or if the guy's stuffing it down your throat, how can you be chayav anything? We'll see that in a second.
If it was onus,
right, that was the way Rashi learned the Gemara. So on the side of Matzi La Hadure, then you talk, I have to do whatever you can do in your power to not be a mazik. So let's finish. I just want to finish up this Rashi because this is going to be our discussion today predominantly. It says Rashi, so the second guy is a mazik if he doesn't spit it back up. Says Rashi, this is where Rashi gets very complicated. So Rashi v'chilo yahadre mahi shaita. If you don't spit it up, mahi shaita yuhu mazik lo. At that moment you become a mazik. The rishon naf midi avad. Because the first guy, he's scot-free. He didn't do anything. V'lo yinishchayev lo koyin klum. The first guy did nothing wrong. Scot-free, give him shlishi next Shabbos. He doesn't own a dime to the coin. Favos. There's two kashas on this Rashi. First of all, favos. Why? Why isn't the first guy gone? If he walks into the kohen's backyard, takes his truma and stuffs it down my throat. Question number two is, why is this relevant for our sugya? Let's say the first guy is chayiv. So what? Let the first guy be chayiv, and the second guy can also be chayiv. There's a Gemara Baba Kama, which we'll see Rabbi Kvega quotes. Let's say Reuven goes into Shimon's backyard and steals a bunch of fruits. And he takes those fruits, and he gives them to Shimon to eat. Bo'acher ve'ochal. Someone comes to me, I stole them, and he comes and eats them from me. So the Gemara says, Ratzim Mizegav, Ratzim Mizegav, we're both chayiv. So Frektum Kiveger. So why does it have to be that in order to be mechayiv the second guy, we have to clear the first guy? So there's two kashas. Kash number one is, why is the first guy not a ganav? And secondly, why do we need the first guy not to be a ganav? Let him be a ganav. And then I'll be an oichel min haganav, which the Gemara says, I'm chayiv anyways.
If
it goes
back to Rashi or Swallow, a guy can just say, I don't like this guy. I want him to get killed, but I don't want him to...
No, Misa B'day Shemayim, this first guy is not going to get because he didn't eat it. But the question is, the first guy is a ganav. He walked into a kohen's house, took truma. Now he's a ganav. Now he took that truma and gave it to another guy. So the second guy ate it. So the Gemara says, Baba Kamba, we're both chayiv on the mominus. So why does Rashi create a situation that the first guy didn't do anything? Why? Let the first guy be guilty. Who cares?
Maybe you wouldn't say Kim later.
Why?
Because there's no Kadeva Shasso. Because why would we purposely go to the second guy who's Misa on him and the first guy loses? Go to the guy who doesn't have a Kadeva.
Okay, good. So that's what we have to see. Is there a svar to say that we wouldn't say Kimle when you have a matzav of Roitz Mizegov and Roitz Mizegov? Kadeh Rishase means that I'm 100% chayiv. So this might be a lumdish shayla. What does it mean, Roitz Mizegev, Roitz Mizegev? Is the pshat that we're both really chayiv, but you only make one payment? Or the pshat is only one of us is chayiv, whichever one you grab first? And I think it's a lumdish shayla on how to look at Roitz Mizegev, Roitz Mizegev. It's a funny phenomenon. You can collect from either one. Well, does that mean we're both guilty? It's just that you can't double collect, so you only get one from one of us? Or the pshat is each one of us can push to the other guy. Now you pay. So maybe none of us are really labeled obligated to pay, because I can always say, well, go to him. Maybe we'll talk about it. Now, let's just finish up the Gemara, and we'll come back to this Rashi. So then the Gemara flips the table. Let's say the guy stuck it so far down your throat, your pasha can't get it out. Says the Gemara, why should you be chayiv? So we'll come back to this later. Two ways to learn this Gemara. Okay, so let's go back to our sugya right now. So we'll see this. Machlokes is Mishnayim. Is it amai chayiv misa, or is it amai chayiv mamon? We'll see Machloek is reading Ritzpah. We'll come back to that Belinezer either this week or next week. So let's focus on this Rashi that we just started out. Rashi says that if you stuff it down the guy's throat, that it's in the back of his throat, all he needs to do is cough it up, however gross that may be, but he can get it out. And he doesn't, he becomes a mazik at that moment, and then he becomes a chayv misa d'shamayim only later, no kimle drami. So the stipler points out over here, number three. The stipler writes that, he quotes Rashi, Tiboyle lahadu vichele hadim ahishayit a mazik l'divishin. What?
Not be doing a
maisa
at all.
So for mazik, good. That's what I want to get to in a second. Rashi said mazik, and I want to know why Rashi didn't pick ganif. Why is the second guy not a ganif? So if you look in the stipler,
because by mazik onis doesn't matter. By ganif maybe it would.
Yeah, but it's matzil ladure. It's not onis.
No,
we're going down matzil ladure. So let's see. So the stipler points out this. He says v'chiloi hadre mahishay de mazik lo derisha mazik lo. The Rishon, so he does you a favor over here. He says, who's the Rishon? Shetochav lalapiv. The stuffer is the Rishon, which, again, obviously we looked at Rashi, we figured that out. Lav midi avav l'adchayim v'kayim kol. Umashikos of Rashi, ma hishayit mazik lei, says the stipler, what did Rashi want with that line? That the first guy becomes a mazik. L'chayra lav davka mazik. Says the stipler, it's not so. He's not a mazik. Why? The akati le afsedei. The object is not yet lost. Why? Di mahadir chazi l'dmei. Because if you were to spit it up, it would be worth something. You would lower the value, but you wouldn't destroy it. So, Mele, tying to the stipler, you're not really a mazik. That's the wrong terminology. So, what type of terminology should it be? El ratzaloyma mahishaita migzel gazle. So, therefore, Zok the stipler, no, he thinks that you have to kvetch into Rashi, that when Rashi writes the lashon of mazik, he really means you're a ganif. And he says it's a mefurish ritva. And it is. The lashon ritva, shom de kishloy adre nasa olav gaz. And
the second guy
that has the ability to spit it up and chooses not to spit it up, he becomes a gazlan according to the Ritva, and according to the stipler wants to learn Rashi. Now, what's the problem with this? Besides, the words of Rashi don't sound like that. You're right. The Ritva says gazlan. Good. Rashi says mazik. I would have assumed Rashi chose his words carefully. Now, what's the problem with this? What would be the problem with this? So we spoke last, 3 weeks ago. We spoke heavily. Is it shaykh to make a maisik zela without a maisa? Can you become a ganiv without a maisa? What happened over here? He stuffed it down my throat and I'm sitting here like this. So the fact that I could spit it up is not a maisa gzela. That's a passive act. So remember, we mentioned from Rishonim, the Tzais has a diak like this in a Rashi, that in order to be a ganav, you need what's called a maisa gneva, an act of gneva, whether it means closing the fence.
How about if it goes into your karka?
What?
How about if it goes into your karka?
You'd have to close the door. Rashi says in moments here, you'd have to...
What? Just as long as you have
das. No, that's the Tzais' chiddush. The Tzais has a chiddush that he thinks is Rashi Shita, that in order to become chai for a ganav, you need to have what's called a maisa gneva. You have to do an act. It's not enough that, let's say, for example, Ruvain's object is rolling down the street, and it rolls right into your backyard. And you say, Gevaldik, I didn't even have to steal. It's right. It's better than looting, right? It comes right to you, right? So Zok Rashi, no, that's not enough. You got to close the gate. When you close the gate, that's a Maisik Neva. So L'chayru, that's not going to work.
I mean, that's between a Ganav and a Gazan. I think
Ganav is
more focused on the
Maisa,
but he, instead of Gazan.
Right, that's
Lashon
of
Rashi. More focused on the loss.
Right, but I don't remember if when we did that sugi we were machal between Ganav and Gaza. Maybe I don't remember. Oh yeah,
I think so.
I don't remember. We have to go back to Gittin when we learned it. But if you're going to learn this pshat in Rashi, it's going to come out to say that Rashi holds you don't need a ma'isa gzeila to become a Ganav. You can become a Ganav on a ma'isa.
Right, like shua shav, right? You call the Gazlan.
Right.
Not a Ganav because you didn't do a ma'isa.
Right. And so,
no, that's wrong.
Wait, I thought Rashi needs a Maisa. That's why he's calling you Mazik.
Right, but the disciple is doing not like that in Rashi. The disciple is trying to tell me that when Rashi wrote the words Mazik, he means Gazlan.
And why does he think that?
Because he thinks you can't be a Mazik at this point because you're not. It's not devalued. It's not valueless. It's only devalued.
Mazik,
you could be a Mazik when it's devalued also. Yeah, I agree with you. Good question. It's a good question. Again, we're not getting into the whole sugi over there in Baba Kama, but the stipler feels that you can become a Ghana, but L'chayra, then there's no Maisik Zedla. So what's the only answer you can say, L'chayra? Either he argues on this premise, or maybe the only reason why you need a Maisik Zedla is to prove that you want to steal it. And what happens? Some stolen object rolls down in my backyard. So how do you know I want to steal it? Maybe I'm just too lazy to kick it out. So when I close the fence on it, I show you I want to be a Gazan. So over here, from the fact that I'm not spitting it up, that's a hechacha, that's a raya, that I want to be a ganav. Meaning the whole reason why you need a ma'isik neva is not a din. It's a din in the Torah, you need a ma'isik neva. It's to show that you want to be a ganav. How else do we know? But over here it's pretty clear. You're not spitting it up unless you argue that it takes too much effort, you know, to cough it up. Maybe
that's
I'm not. That's where the Gemara is going to come out, right? So at this point in the Gemara, it could just be that the lack of spitting it up is enough of a ma'isa. Not because it's an act, but because it's megale that I want to steal it. Meaning if you hold you need a Maisa Gneva because there's a din somewhere you need to have, so this doesn't help. But if you hold Maisa Gneva just for us to know what's going on in your mind, so here we could tell what's going on in your mind. You're trying to steal this thing because you could have spit it up and you chose not to. So therefore that might be able to circumvent the problem of Maisa Gneva. Maybe. Now the problem is what? Right, I mean, das gneva is just that might be the whole purpose of a maisa gneva. The maisa gneva creates the das gneva.
Maybe a non-maiso act, lack of act that proves maisa.
Correct, exactly. But if you hold there's a din that you need a maisa gneva for whatever reason, then this is not going to work. Now, why is this so negated to us? Because we're going to learn there's a yisoidus de gemachloikis between the ktsais and the sivus, between the case of the gemara baba kama. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, I put it on last week's share, last time's Gemara Mekayimis. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says the following case. Let's say someone steals. Let's say you go out and you steal, you walk into a bakery, you take a bunch of loaves of bread and you put it on your dining room table. And then I break into your dining room and I eat all those loaves of bread. So who pays what? So the Gemara says over there, the Gemara says you can collect from either person. I'm the owner of the bakery. I can either go to the ganav and collect, or I can go to the guy who ate all the loaves of the bread. That's what the Gemara says. Roitz mizegayv, roitz mizegayv. So the Gemara says, my time of havas kol kama glan yishayshu abaylim brishusa dimorikoy. So the Gemara says, because as long as there's no yish, these objects are still considered in the rishus of the original person. That's the Gemara. So there's the machloikis ktsais and the sivis. What obligation does the second guy have? Is the second guy a ganav, or is the second guy a mazik? Very serious thing machlokes says in the series. What are the study hashaylo? Is it possible to be a ganiv achar a ganiv? meaning after the first guy stole it, he already took it out of the rishus of the nigzal. So then what did I do? I furthered it from the rishus of the nigzal. Well, I'm not so innocent. I knew it was hot stuff, right? Today, apparently...
Well, somebody shoved it in your mouth.
No, right. Right, but again, if I could spit it out... Right, now the new thing is the looting that's taking place in different cities. This is what I understand, is that they can sell all that stuff like on Amazon and no one gets in trouble. Not the buyer, not the seller. No one gets in trouble for what they're doing, which is stamazay ridiculous. So that's the case over here, right? You know, some guy robs, steals, you know, hits up a bakery, then I take the bakery stuff and I eat everything. So what's the second guy? So do we say the second guy's a ganef? He's a ganef min a ganef. No, that's only if there's yish. That would be yish and all that other stuff. There's no yish over here, right? There's no yish. Or the second guy is a mazik. Now, that's going to be totally in how you read this Rashi. If you read Rashi the way we have it in our book, in our Gemara, so Rashi says what? So Rashi's mefurish that the second guy is a mazik. Why does Rashi say mazik? That's because Rashi doesn't believe that you could be a ganev from another ganev. Now, it's not such 100% raya because...
Because in our case, it's forced.
No, again, it's not forced. It's matzi ladure.
The stipler completely discounts it.
What? No, the reason why I'm wrong is why? Because maybe the reason why you're not a ganav is because there's no maisik neva. When I come over to the loaf of bread and I pick up the loaf of bread, I stuff it in my throat, it's a maisik neva. But here, there's felt in the maisik neva.
Yeah, but how in the case with the second stealing, that maisik neva, how do you view that as mazik? How do you view that as mazik?
Because I ate it. The second guy ate the bread. That's the case of the Gemara.
Oh. Not his
maisa. No. He's not chai for the taking of the bread because it was already out of the rishus of the original owner when he stole it.
So that second taking is not a
maisa ganeva? No. No, it could be a maisa ganeva, but it can't be a ganeva. Well, you can't be a ganeva. If you hold like the ktsais. The ktsais holds you can't be a ganeva from another ganeva. All you could be is a maisa. That's the only option. The nesiva says, no, you could be a ganeva. Min a ganeva. Fine.
But in... The ganav min haganav is when you pick it up.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, so back to...
Who would you be paying? Who would you be paying?
The Gemara says, right to Mizeh Gaiva, right to Mizeh Gaiva. You'd have to pay... The second guy or the first guy would have to pay the original owner.
Whose property is... By the way,
Rabbi, can we pass... One second, Michael.
Whose property is...
The bread. He ate the bread.
But is he being mazik the Steelers?
No. He's being mazik the original owner, the bakery.
Why? He didn't...
He ate the bread.
But it was no longer in his possession.
No, he wasn't Miyayish yet. The first owner wasn't Miyayish yet. So it was only Einab B'Rishus, but it was not in his Rishus, but it was still belonged to him. So now, when...
Well, why can't you use the same argument for being allowed to be Ganav?
What do you mean?
If the owner never gave Yeyush, you're not being Ganav from a Ganav.
Right, that's part of Machloikas. Exactly. I don't know if we're going to get so much into it, but yeah, that's exactly the two sides of that Machloikas, right? 100%. Exactly.
Sure, maybe you're being mazik to the guy, because the guy was a chiyuv hashavah. Now you ate it, he can't do his chiyuv hashavah.
I was thinking about that. I am. Again, I don't know if I want to so heavily get into this, but we're going to come back into it. So again, just pointing out, so this Rashi, if you read Rashi like the stipler, that the second guy's a gazlin, so vaitan, you see from Rashi, the other side of the machloikis. If you leave Rashi mazik, then it's the other side. So depending on how you read Rashi, will have implications on this machloikis, ktsais and nesivos. So let's take a look over here in number 4, Rebbe Kivega. Tanya Rebbe Kivega, 4, Pirish. He's going on the Gemara says, if matzil adur is in the back of your throat, you could spit it out. Says the Gemara, you have to spit it out. Zogt Rebbe Kivega, number 4, Pirish. Umahi shayte kvarn eschai b'mamon. That moment you become chai for the mamon. V'yaf de harisha notle v'tochvo l'tech piv shalzeh. Nasa olav gazlin v'nischayiv. Even though the first guy stole it and put it into your mouth, mikamakom ayochol etvoye gam mehasheni. You could still collect from the second guy. Kidamina b'meseches babakama gazlov anoshei shuabaylim u'ba'achav otzim rotzim zegayiv rotzim zegayiv. So what's Kivega quoting? Kivega is saying in that case, avada the first guy is a ganef. No question. First guy is a ganef. So, but since the first guy is a ganef and the second guy is the eater. So the halacha is, you could be goyve from either one of the two parties. So it says Rebbe Kivega, V'Rashi, but Rashi makes problems over here. V'Rashi, because of Mahi Shaiti Iu Mazik Leide Rishon, Lav Midi Ovid, V'Lein Eschayiv L'Koyin Klum, V'Eini Maven Klal. Frag Rebbe Kivega, I don't understand Rashi. D'Hovade Gam HaRishon Nas Alav Goyiz Loi V'Nis Chayiv. Frag Rebbe Kivega, why does Rashi assume the first guy is scot-free? The first guy is guilty, he's a ganef. But who cares? Zol Zayin, let him be a ganef. He'll be a ganev. The second guy will be a oichel min haganev. And the Gemara says above a kama, they're both guilty. So why does Rashi have to create a situation that the first guy is not a ganav? Let him be a ganav. Meaning, Kveg is pointing out, it seems like from Rashi, that if the first guy were to be a ganav, then the second guy is going to be potter. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the first guy could be a ganav, the second guy could be an eater, and they still be able to have Ratzim Zagav or Ratzim Zagav. Now, what Kveg is not getting into is why does Rashi think the first guy is not a ganav? Why not?
I don't understand.
No, that's the second guy. Our cash is on the first guy.
Rabbi
Kveger is not asking that on Rashi. He's asking on Rashi that let him be a ganif, and you still could have the din of second guy paying.
But
they go together. Exactly. Meaning the questions complement each other. It's first of all, why is it that Rashi assumes the first guy is not a ganav? And why can't the first guy be a ganav and the second guy still be chayv? They really go together. This is a very stark akash. Very, very stark akash of Kiveg. So if you look over here.
Yeah, everyone's using the term gazlan. And I think because there's no maisa, that's why they're a gazlan, not a ganav.
Okay, and therefore, how does that explain why the first guy?
No, it doesn't, but it's the real kaw, where's the mice?
Oh, you want to go back to that question?
Xeo doesn't require mice.
So you want to tell Xeo it's only Gnev that needs it?
Because the Stein used Gazan, Arikay using Gazan, everyone's saying Gazan.
That's the case of the Gemara. Gazan, when I say I should buy them, right? That's the case of the Gemara over there. So you want to tell that that's it. Okay, could be. I hear.
It's all about the loss that you're causing, not the mice.
How it happens. Okay, Gewaldik. So this is what the Achorim are now going to talk about. So if you look over here, number five, the Imre Moshe. The Imre Moshe was a Moshe Sokolovsky. I'm not related to him as far as I know. The first time I ever heard the Sefer, when I was in 11th grade, my Rebbe quoted it. He asked me if I'm related. I didn't even know who the person was. Moshe Sokolovsky was a Talmud by Reb Chaim. He learned before Reb Chaim. He was a big guy. So he writes like this, number five. So he comes up with a very positive answer, Reb Kivegas Kash. It's a big akimta what he says, but it works. He writes like this, number five. He says, V'tzarech loyma d'sham ayri sha'toichev loynas gazlin kigayin shesavar sheshaloyhu. He said that the toichev, the stuffer, thought it belonged to him. He thought he was feeding his friend something that belonged to him. He didn't realize that was Yanim's truma. So therefore, you don't become a gazlan b'shoigig. The Gemara says that if, let's say, for example, we spoke about this Gemara before. Let's say the father had an animal, the father died, and all the kids thought this was their father's. And it wasn't their father's, it was always borrowed. It was always borrowed, and they shecht it, and they eat it, so they're not a gazlan, because they didn't know. They only have to pay dmei basa bazar. So he wants to tell you that that's pshat in the sugi over here. It says the Imre Moshe here also, since the guy never thought it was stolen. He thought it was his. He thought it belonged to him. He grabbed the wrong basket. You know, again, the problem with owning truma is it's very hard to own truma unless you're actually a kain. So we spoke about there are scenarios where Yisrael can own truma from his grandmother. But whatever, he made a mistake over here. He stuffed the wrong thing in the wrong mouth. So therefore says the Imre Moshe, since over here the first guy had no das to become a ganav, that's why he's not a ganav. Now, this only answers half the question, right? This is just a good. So this case, he punked, happened not to have been a gazlan. But let's say he would have been a gazlan, the first guy. What would happen then? So maybe ain't a chrami then. Right to mizeh goiva, right to mizeh goiva. But the point is, the Moshe is just trying to make an akimta to why in our Gemara, the first guy is not a ganav, and it's an akimta. Doesn't say that in the Gemara, right?
It's a great way to fit Rashi in.
It's like mechatesa. Like, why would you think that's pshat in the sugya, that the guy over here did it b'shoigi? So that's one terence. So if you look over here, number six, the sefer is chedushe iloy. This is from Reb Shlomo Palachik. Mike, do you know Reb Shlomo Palachik? He's not listening anymore.
Three seconds.
Mike, you don't know Reb Shlomo Palachik? Mishas the Eloi, exactly. The Mishas the Eloi. Okay. Really? The Mishas the Eloi was an Eloi, Shmai Kahu. They say when he was, I think, already 7 years old, he was learning three blot Gemara Rashi Taisus and Seches Beya. When he was 12, he was taken into the Volozhin Yeshiva. He was born in 1877, not far from Grodno, actually. And he went into the Volozhin Yeshiva, and he learned by Reb Chaim in Volozhin. And Volozhin closed in 1892. So he didn't have that much time in Volozhin, but he became very close with Reb Chaim. And Reb Chonin said that he heard b'shem Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim said there is no such an Eloi like him. That's Reb Chaim talking. That's the top of the top. So that's how he gets such a title of to be called Eloi. Not too many people get such a title to be called the Eloi of anything. So, but what ended up happening with him, he was Rosh Hashiva in Liadi and in Bialystok, and then he ultimately became Rosh Hashiva of, one of the first Rosh Hashivas of, Shivas Rabbeinu Yisrael Chon. Dov Revel recruited him in 1922, and he came to America. And he was one of the, if I'm not mistaken, probably one of the first Rosh Yeshivas. I think he was the first Rosh Yeshiva in NYU in 1922. Shlomo Palachik. Pinchas Sharmig was a Talmud of his in NYU. The sad thing is he died very young. He died in 1928, which he was not very old. He was born in 77. He died at 28. So how old was he? 50. 50. That's what it was?
Oh, really?
50, early 50s.
Before penicillin.
Right, that's what it was. I didn't see it. Yeah. I never saw it. It was never clear to me what he died from. But it was unbelievable. He was one of the first Rosh Hashivas here. It was Eli. Mamash Eli. He was the Rebbe of Nasa Vachvogel also. Who also learned in YU in the early years, in those years. But he was a big Eli. Palachik, yeah. Was a big Eli. That's why he's called Eli. Okay, so he has a shtick like this in number 6. He wants to be Mazbar Ar Sugya. So he says like this. He says, V'nir L'taritz. He wants to tie up Shat and Rashi. Why is the first guy not a Ganif? Why is the first guy not a Ganif? He stole Yanim's Chayfetz. He picked it up. So good, he threw it into someone else's mouth. Who cares? Why is that Migareya from his Gazlin ability? So he writes like this. V'nir L'taritz. Number 6, left corner. Let's say I steal something with the intention of throwing it into the ocean. So you're also a gazlan. Even though you didn't take it for yourself, right? We have this thing that stealing means I steal to benefit. Let's say I steal, I throw it straight into the ocean. I flush it straight down the toilet. I'm still a ganif. Of the gazlan, you're still considered a gazlan. We can't call this first guy a goyzel amnasl abed del havei olav din gazlin in order to give him a gazlin, because again, that's what he was. He was a gazlin. He was a goyzel amnasl abed. He stuffs it down your throat for it to get lost. Because as long as the first guy can still spit it up, it's not put into a matzav of ibud. When I throw it into the ocean, that's it. The ocean's going to swell, you know, flush it down the toilet. But here, I didn't put it in a matzav where it's going to go to Ibud. I put it in a matzav where it depends what the second guy's going to do with it. Therefore, so you can't be mechayiv the first guy. The actual stuffing, I just put it in a matzav where it could get ruined. Kim de motzi ladure, im hasheni yirtza yigzol, vim yirtza lo yigzol. Avlo rishon lo yovit klum, he's not considered a gazlam nasl abed. Because the second guy can always spit it up. It's like I left the thing in the second guy's mouth. Let's say I steal and I put it in the second guy's backyard. So I'm not going to be considered a gazlam. So he wants to tie in over here that the only way to mechayev the first guy will be as what's called a gazlam nasl abed. And here you were ma'abedit. You left it intact. Now, I'm not sure why you can't just tamzei be a regular gazlan. By picking it up, you become a regular gazlan, right? A typical run-of-the-mill
gazlan. Your intention, right?
Right. I mean, if your intention was to destroy it, then it has to be destroyed, or in that matzav of destruction. And being over here, that I didn't have it exactly in the situation of destruction, that's why I can't be deemed a ganif.
Nice play on words here. Azev ko irashi.
Right.
In Hebrew, it means to vomit.
Right.
So in the case of gazlan la'abit,
yeah.
How does that work? Does he have to do it immediately?
Yes, it sounds like he has to have das to throw it out to destroy it.
All right, so you could say in this case he did what he stole it, have in mind to do this act of stuff.
Right, which is not ibud.
Right, and he whole works.
Right,
as long as you can construct the case.
Right, exactly.
It's much better than the
kimtov. That's right. The kimtov, it's b'shoyg. Here it's the imrim.
Constructed the case in Rashi, which was what did he say? Rashi was just saying,
The Imam Moshe's pshat, right.
This is more
fundamental in the situation.
But he has to have had at least das
to destroy it. Right. That's right. Okay. So let's see one last pshat from David Kviat, the Sukkas David. He has a very lumdish pshat, but it's hard to understand exactly why it should be this way. He writes it this. Achadayin, number 7. Achadayin tzorech lohavim adu ein rishin gazin. We're all dealing with a Kviat's observation. Why is the first guy not a gazin? Now again, there's really two kashas here. Is why the first guy not a gazlan, and let the first guy be a gazlan, and we could still make the second guy pay. We're dealing now, maybe we're not even, I don't think we'll even come back to this, but we're at least dealing with why the first guy not a gazlan. So according to the Memorisha, the first guy is not a gazlan because he was a shaygik. According to Shlomo Palachik, it's because he wasn't a real la'abit. Says him David Kvi had a third possibility. He says, V'nir the Rashi is feeling the gazlan lay have Iraq, oy shirotsui lachnisa l'rishu soy, dahinu sha'asa maise kinyat bekavona shi'i shaloi. Gazlan means when you take something with the intention of making it yours. I afal pi shalay bidas kinyan, oishiratzila avdei. There's two ways you become a gazlan. Either you take something which is not yours, or like we saw from Rishon Palachik, that you take it, I'm not slabit. Or you should not slabit. You can't see what comes out of the chest. The kind of Rishon Rak log whom you should have by them, the Nostu with Pivshoze, Hareze Loibud. So similar to Rishon Palachik's chat. You're not considered a destroyer. And you had no intention of bringing it into your rishus. So here's explaining a little better that there's two ways to become a ganav. One way is that I want this thing to become mine, and the other way is that I want to destroy your thing. So when I was toichiv l'toich piv, what did I do? I had no intention of making it mine, and then was I considered a ma'abed? So he says like ilchein ein yochol ein. He says over here im kein harezel le'iv. He says v'gam mazik lehave. Why are you not a mazik? He says, you can't be a mazik because you didn't damage anything yet. You put it in a matzif that if the next guy continues on, will be a mazik. But the way you left it, again, it seems like putting it in someone's throat does not devalue it so much that it's considered a significant loss. He writes, v'zeu shekos Rashi ihu mazik lo. Debola hadgish de harishon lehazik klum. The first guy is not a mazik. And we were asking, why is the first guy not a ganif? Why is the first guy not a mazik? The answer is because I didn't put it in a status of hezek. Elo rak hasheni mikra mazik sherotza lachnisoi l'rushusoi ulahochlam.
Because you're assuming if he spits it out, somebody else is going.
That's right. That's what he assumed. That was a stipulous assumption. That if he spit this up, it would still have value.
As soon as another second guy swallows it, the first guy is no longer a mazik.
That's right. That's right.
And he's no longer a ganav because now it's all falling in.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So the first guy is scot-free. That's what Rashi says. The first guy is scot-free. He said, that's why Rashi's focusing on mazik. He hear this? He wants to tell him that Rashi wasn't coming to address why is the first guy not a ganif. We were addressing why is the first guy not a mazik. Different knetch. We were going with a kivega that our whole focus is ganif, ganif, ganif. Why is the first guy not a ganif? Zokte, no, I wonder why is the first guy not a mazik. Teres is because he didn't put it in a matzav of mazik. He put in a matzah, which matzah ladurets, it could become back up, it's safe. You decide, the second guy decides, because the second guy's the matzah, the first guy's not the matzah. So now we have a discussion over here, why is the first guy not a ganav, and why is the first guy not a matzah?
That's why the whole chewing thing doesn't work, because the second you chew it, you become a matzah.
Exactly, that's why if you would be in the mouth and you chew it, you'd be guilty. Now what we're not addressing is the second half of the question. Good. Let's make the case that the first guy is a ganav, but you can still get from the second guy, right? So why do we have to twist ourselves into a pretzel to make it that the first guy is not a ganav and the first guy is not a mazik? Let him be a mazik, let him be a ganav, and I don't care. I can still make the second guy chayiv. That's the bigger kasha over here, which I think we'll leave off at least for now. Okay, so let's go back over here to Tosfos, number 8. Tosfos. And we got to cover ground at some point. So that kasha we'll leave off one day if you want to. The stipler has a mahalach. There are mahalachim in the Achronim, but the stipler has an interesting mahalach. What's his name as a mahalach from Ponovich? I forgot his name already. So Shimon Ponovich has a mahalach. There are the terutzim for it, but we'll leave off with the kashva now. Pavarsky, thank you. So Pavarsky has a mahalach in Tosfos. Yeah, Michael. When you're not here, it's not the same, Michael.
You're late, Michael.
You're too late. Every second counts here. David Pavarsky has a mahalach. But okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's see Tosfos number 8. So Tosfos. Now, this was all on the side of Motzi Ladure. Let's go on the other side. Loi Motzi Ladure. On the side that the guy sticks it so far down your throat you can't spit it out. So the Gemara's words were, Amai Chayiv. Amai Chayiv what? So let's just take one finger, go to Rashi for second number 2. So Rashi, Amai Chayiv what? So Rashi, Misa. Oinesu. So Rashi learned the Gemara's kasha was that if the guy stuffed it so far down your throat that he can't spit it up, then it's pashut you're not going to be chayv misa because you're an oinus. Uncontrollable. Oinus rachmana pachut. That's the way Rashi learned the Gemara. Now we spoke about this 3-4 weeks ago, that can you still have kim levi d'ramine on an oinus? What's the shaila? So we mentioned Rabbi Kiveger also spoke about this. Rabbi Chanan spoke about this. What's the shaila? If you hold that this kim levi d'ramine b'shoigig, even though the person's not going to get the actual misa, so why can't they be kimnei d'ramine b'oinus? Even though the guy's not going to get the actual misa. So Rabbi Chanan basically said, and Rabbi Gusman made this even clearer to us, that there's a fundamental difference between an oinus and a shoigig. A shoigig is, I did the act without the right intention. An oinus is, b'chol, I didn't do the act. That's what an oinus means. Oinus achmar patri l'hinar l'sas
dover. That's one way. Or you did the act, but there's no...
Right. So that was where Rebbe Chanan and Rebbe Kiveger were getting into. How do you look at oinus? Is the pshat by oinus that I did the act, but the Torah is not going to be chayav me? The pshat is, you pasha didn't do this. This was not you. This was someone else. This was not, you're not that person, which we'll talk a little bit more about today. So we spoke about Rashi. Now, the assumption is that according to Rashi, if the guy stuffs it down your throat against your will, you're not going to get Misa B'dei Shemayim. Are you still going to be Chayiv Maminus? Pashtus would be yes. The Maisa you and then.
If you're Masik, it doesn't matter.
Because we have a rule, Adam would loyal. Right? When Chayiv is tasting their man, Oin is Gomer or not. But if you hold that the second guy is some form of a mazik, now can you be a mazik mamish in such an oinus where the guy stuffs it? You're screaming, yelling, the guy stuffs it down your throat.
Well, he must agree to it, otherwise this whole case doesn't make any sense.
No, the Gemara wasn't focusing on that point. The Gemara's flip side was, Eloi Matzi Ladure.
He's protesting. If the guy being stuffed is protesting, then why should he have anything?
That's Gemara's kasha. That's Gemara's kasha.
Where's it say he protests?
No, Eloi Matzi Ladure, Rashi says you're an oinus. What's the oinus?
Oh, you mean once you...
Rashi's setting up the case that you're not able to spit it back up. And Rashi assumes that means that it was forced. Right. So the question is, according to Rashi, if you were forced on, and therefore there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim, will there still be a Mamonis Chiv? Not clear.
Because it's an Oinus case.
Because Oinus, right.
Okay.
So that's how Rashi learned the Gemara. So let's take a look in Taisus number 8. So Taisus, Pish B'Kuntris.
Rashi would say you're Potter from Misa and Mamon.
I mean, Rashi didn't say anything.
He didn't say.
And therefore you assume
that you're
Chayiv in the Mamonis. Yeah. Okay, could be. I mean, or it could be Rashi never got that far into the Gemara, because Rashi already knocked out the Gemara by just saying that the case doesn't work. Meaning, Rashi's trying to show you that this can't be the case of Kim Ledramine, because there's no Misa. Meaning, it wasn't necessary for Rashi to follow up, because once it's not the case of the Gemara, why are we going to talk about it? Not clear. Let's see Taisus, number 8. So Taisus, Pesh B'Kuntris, Amai Chayiv Misa. The Kushalari, Frektiri, a very, very simple question. The Loki Kigoyin Shem Ritzayin Ameiniach Lachtev. Why are we assuming everything's forced over here? Why can it be that he actually let his friend stuff it down his throat? One second. So how would this work out? Why can he allow? He allowed his friend. He allowed him to do it. He said, "Do me a favor. This guy's a zal lazy mensch. He can't be bothered to move his hand to take the sandwich." He tells him, "Do me a favor. Take the sandwich. Put it on a stick and stuff it down my throat." You know, so busy watching the football game today, he can't even take a break to eat the sandwich. Okay, fine. Says Zok Taisvis. Why can't that be the case? The hash tavad chayv miso. In that case, for sure, there's Misa, there's consent there, right? Now, what could you ask on this line of Taisus before we even get any further?
You need to do a Maisa.
Oh, is there a din that you need to do a Maisa Achila to be Chaya for eating Macholos Asurus? Or no? Maybe you need a Maisa Gneva. Is there a din that you need to have a Maisa on Macholos Asurus?
That your Das is good enough.
Or that the consent is good enough.
Well, is it a din or somebody else does it?
Well, that's right.
We said a maisa
by Gneva. Here we want to know, is there a din when it comes to Macholos Asuris that in order to be chayv you have to do a maisa achila?
Is eating truma?
Is it
din achila?
Because you don't need a shir kizayis. So what would the nafka mean? Let's
eat it shalik
derech achila. Right, so
if it's not din achila, it
doesn't matter. One second.
You don't need
a shir kizayis
for truma. Talks about that.
For truma, what's the shir? I don't remember.
The shear is
because
it's in Xeon. The shear is
Shavar Pruta,
not Kazai.
Well, for Truma, for the Chai Misa V'Shamayim.
I can look it up.
Okay, on the Misa part.
Which was right.
So again, so when the reassumes for Davar Pashut that I could be Chayiv, someone could be Chayiv Misa by eating, even though they don't actually eat it. They don't do a Maisa Achila, it just goes down their throat.
Right.
Now, if you look very quickly over here in the Haflah, so the Haflah makes this observation. The Haflah says... He says, "How the psikulhu the after leov in midi, kivun shetochlum yiratzayin echayv alan asay." V'am du b'zem mafarshim. The mafarshim make this observation that what? That how could you be chayiv from achalas asuris if you didn't do the ma'is achilo? Well, then his daiti tamo mishum darei b'chol aharayis muzorin hanoshim kanoshim. So he says, "I'll bring you a raya from Isra Arayis." He says, "Isra Arayis, so men and women are both equal. I after isha kako elam leov the midi. The lady never does anything; she's passive." Since she consents, nasis kirinon ba hanafosha sa'isus. That's considered that she did it. Same thing here. Avagav doloyovin midi, even though you do a maisa, kivin de birtsoinai hu chayiv. So zokta haflo, there is no such din. You need to have a maisa achila in order to be mechayiv for eating zarshi achotrum. Once you nana from it. As long as you nana and you consent, that's good enough.
And we can see this in Kareis Mises.
Right? By Arayas. Exactly. So we have a Raya that when it comes to...
Not just Misa B'dei Odom.
Right. Yeah. Now, the only kash would be is if this is correct, so why would it be, let's say someone eats Zohar shalcha truma shalayka derech achila. Would he be chayiv? We normally assume if a person eats something shalayka derech achila, he's not chayiv mid rice. According to this, it shouldn't matter how you eat it. As long as you benefit, you benefit. Why do we care how you eat it? Bishlam, if there's a din, you have to have a mais achila. So if I don't do the mais...
derech hanoa too. The same way achila shalok kedarka is not achila, hano shalok kedarka is not hano.
But this is kedarka. No, no, but it's going in your stomach.
No, the mice are your nana. The mice are your nana. Once it's regular nana, so then... I don't know. So the mice, this is a kasha. If you assume like this on floor, that by it comes to macholos, at least zorosh hachachuma, and arayit, it's not telling a mice achila, it's telling a mice nana, so then you should be chayivim shalok kedarka achila. How it should come out. Now, if you take a look at number, 10, it's Mefurish Tais Sirash. The Tais Sirash writes, "Umilsa de pshita hi shemachiluhu laadam davar iser." If someone feeds you a davar iser, chayev kiluhu baatzmai haya oichloi, as if you did it yourself. Number 10, hayil venene. So the Tais Sirash is mamash bavarning this problem. He's bavarning this ha'aral a ma'isa. Why are you chayev? You didn't do a ma'isa. Says the Tais Sirash, dafnish ken ma'isa. You don't need a ma'is achila. All you need is to be nana. Again, you need a consent. You're not chayiv against your will. But talk to Tosfos, once there's consent, and once there's hano, you're good to go. So basically, this yisrael of that flaw is kemam mafurish, both in Tosfos, and it's kemam mafurish in the Tosfos Rosh. That you do not need a ma'is achila to be chayiv for eating truma. All you need is hano with consent. Okay. So let's go right in the line of Tosfos now. So how did Tosfos start off?
He's not getting the hano until he does the ma'is achila.
There's no ma'is achila here. Ma'is achila means I pick it up and I eat it. I don't pick it up and eat it. He's stuffing it down my throat. So the guy stuffed it so far down my throat that I can't, so first tastes like this. Why can't it be, I give him permission to put it down my throat, the hashtova de chayiv misa. So now there's chayiv misa. Avagav de loy motzi la'adure, even though I can't take it back. Now why? Because I asked him to do it. So what are you going to claim? Oinus? What oinus? You asked for it. Rashi was in the world of Oinus, so Rashi had all these kashas. What about the kasha? Frakteri, keep it simple. It was consensual. You let him do it. Umama nami loy mechayv. Oh, it's 1 second. Frakteri, one second. If that's the case, so why would I not be chayv mamen? I was consent. Kivan dolei motzi la dure el alanas groine umeyof. Avahi shayt kim lev d'ramini. Frakteri assumes that if he stuffed it so far, so then all I could be chayiv for is what? When it goes down my throat. When it goes down my throat, that's the same time the chayiv misa kicks in. So then it's going to be kim lebi ramine. It is be'idna. So frakteri, why can't the case bin, it was consensual, he stuffs it all the way down to the back of my throat, now when it goes down the back of my throat with my consent, that's exactly everything's bon kechad. That's the case of kim lebi ramine. Very gishmak. So why is the Gemara have such problems? The Gemara is muttering and muttering and muttering to come up with a case. A very simple case. When I asked him to put it down my throat, he stuffs it all the way to the back of my throat. At that moment that it goes down my throat, everything is bon kecha. So here's where the Ri drops us the bomb. For Oymeri, Venir Luri, Dahaki Perushe, Amai Chayiv Mamen. You know what the Gemara's kasha was? That it was consensual. I asked him to do it. And he stuffed it so far into the back of my throat that I can't pick it up. And what's the problem? Amai Chayiv. Amai Chayiv what? The Gemara's kasha was, why are you Chayiv Mamen? The Gemara had a problem over here. How can I be chayiv if I didn't do it?
Rashi was against. Rashi said no chayiv misa.
Right, because Rashi was learning, it was forced.
Forced, so there was onus.
Right. Exactly. So Taisus is a whole new sugya. Taisus is learning it was consensual. Right. I asked him to do it. But the Gemara's kasha was not amai chayiv misa. But it was amai chayiv mamon. So what's the problem? Well, why are you not chayiv mamon? So Taisus says, because I didn't steal it. Who cares? Our Gemara that we just quoted earlier. Who cares? You didn't do a ma'is gzeila, but you were the nana. You were the oichel, so you could be chayiv. Says Taisus, no. Says Taisus, the only time we can make the second guy pay is if the second guy comes and takes something which is already in the world. My case before. Reuven walks into the bakery, steals a challah, puts it on the dining room table. Shimon walks into Reuven's dining room table and eats the challah. So when Shimon comes into the situation, there was an active challah sitting on a table that was stolen. Says Taisvis Aval Hocha Dibishosh is menu kvahu oven mina oilam. When the first time I walk onto the scene, right? I walk onto the scene and this thing is already in the back of Yenim's throat. That's what it is. Hu shahu b'makam d'leif shel aduri, it's so far gone, it can never come back. Then ain't law ala sheni klum. The second guy is not chai for anything. Because what did I steal? I stole an object that is not here. Because since it was mitzad the rishon, now, what would the rehold about the first guy in this case?
Wait, what do you need that for? You have kimlei. He's got the Misa of Misa and Misa of Gazelle.
No, that's the one. No, that's the whole point. He's arguing that the second guy can't be chayiv for being an aganev because by the time it came to him, it was already useless.
I thought he just said that he's not chayiv because it was done with his consent and it's always Misa.
No, that was his kasha. His answer is that when you read the Gemara and the Gemara says, V'chiloi mati laduri, when you can't spit it up on my chayiv, the Gemara was asking, why are you chayiv mominous? Because the second guy ate a valueless object. And therefore the second guy can't be chayiv.
Yeah, but when the second guy gave his consent, that's where the
but that doesn't make him a ganav. That doesn't make him a ganav.
Why was it valueless?
Because it can't come back up. So you put it in a matzif where it can never be accessed. Mm-hmm. So as far as you're concerned, it's not a dover shaboilim anymore. So now when I eat that, I'm eating a non-real valuable thing, so I can't be chayiv. Now what's the obvious kasha? Let be chayiv as hano. What about hano?
We're assuming Hana is
going down your throat.
Right.
But Hana is still there. You're still nana from it. You'll tell me I can't be considered a ganiv. Again, this might be go back to our Tzoyis Nesivis question, right? To become a ganiv.
Is the Hana the satiation or the swallowing?
What about Michael?
Is the Hana the satiation of your stomach?
So we'll see at the end of Tzoyis. Tzoyis is going to talk about what the Hana exactly is, or whether or not the guy can claim, I don't want this Hana. But that's
what. Wouldn't that depend what.
Yeah. Well, we'll see in a second. So that's the Riz Pshat. Good. So again, according to the Riz, there's two chiddushim in the Gemara. Chiddush number one, that it was consensual. Chiddush number two, the Gemara was not asking on the Misa, the Gemara was asking on the Mammon. The Gemara wasn't asking the Eloi Matzal Aduri Amai Chayiv Misa, but rather the Gemara was asking the Eloi Matzal Aduri Amai Chayiv Mammon. Because you're not Chayiv, because you didn't leave it in a situation of accessibility. Now let's finish off this thesis. V'ritzba Mefarish. Keshitas Rashi. Says the Ritzba, it's Poshet, like Rashi. Upshit leil hashas the ayri keshetoch of labakoch. It's gotta be what we're talking about that it was forced. He comes to defend Rashi. We have a machloikis in the case. Rashi learns the cases, it was forced, the re learns it was consensual. Says the Ritzba, Rashi's right. No shaila, Rashi's right. Why is Rashi right? He says, Akorchach keshetoch of labritzoine miyad keshemesim bepiv, v'loi hodra. Says the Ritzba, because if it would be consensual, the moment it goes first into the mouth, boom! Right then, you become chayiv.
He's from a kinyanim, this is not mazik. Right. He's not learning like Rashi.
Exactly. The Ritzba is arguing that if the case was consensual, that you agreed, so then if you allowed him, so the moment he put it right in the beginning of your mouth, your pe'ez kainah right away, you should become chayiv. So you're not going to have any bon kechutz. He says over here, Gvaldi Gechidish, Miyad kishemesim bepe v'loi hodra, kone miyad leschai boinsin, v'ein boin kechut. De mistoma meinicha bepe, v'ach kach tocha v'lo be'etzba. He says, what was the case over here? First he put it into the mouth, then he stuffed it down. Then Taisu says, well, there's more to it. We'll get to it next week.
If you don't need
myself. Oh, Gvaldi. So what's going on over here? The Ritzba is assuming that if I were to want someone to put something into my mouth, I'd be chayv right away for it. So what's the obvious observation right away? Where's my maisa? Where's the maisa? Yes. There's still not a maisa. So Rabbi Chanan writes, we'll see this more blinder the next week, Rabbi Chanan points out, that's going to be the machloikis rishonim over here. The reassume for Dava Pasha that even if it's consensual, you're not chayv the moment it's in your mouth. Pavos nisht. Says Rabbi Chanan, because the re holds you need a maisa gneva. There's no maisa gneva here.
Right, consensual is only good when it's in the throat.
Right, the right. But you want to tell me that I should become a ganav because I let someone else put something into my mouth? Where's the ma'isig neva? The Ritzba holds not like that. The Ritzba holds you don't need a ma'isig neva. And therefore, according to the Ritzba, the moment it would end up in your mouth, boom.
Isn't he like your shliach? If you're letting him do it, can't you attribute his action?
And that would help. That would help.
That's his ma'isig. His ma'isig is your ma'isig.
That's assuming you hold your shliach d'va'avera.
Yeah.
Now the other way around this would be like what we said last time. That maybe not that the pshat that Ritzba holds you don't need a ma'isig neiva, but the Ritzba holds that consent is good enough to be a ma'isig neiva. You don't need a ma'isa to say it's a physical act. You just need consent. And so if I told you, listen, buddy, take it, put it into my mouth, that's consent. Consent is good enough.
Yeah, but me'ila is one of the exceptions, right?
for what shlichus
of Avir. Is Zori Truman like me?
No, right. Okay, so we'll leave that the next week. We'll get back into this machoikis riim ritzbah, and hopefully we'll move on to a little vayta in the sugya as well. Okay, everybody. So Tuesday night, Mitzvah Shem, we're still doing nat bar nat, discussing the washing dishes. Okay, everybody.
Because ice is not that much.
Is that the only case in the world?
It's
not possible.
Amazing, no? Torah is amazing like that. Once or twice. Yeah, I got it once or twice. Yeah. Give all to everyone.